is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, February 7th. You know, I got to remember these days. 7th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have an open line Wednesday. It's going to be an open line Wednesday, but we're going to have a man down mash up Wednesday where we combine two shows and mash them together to analyze and critique the news. And of course, when we critique and analyze the news, we talk about what is trending in social media and also what is trending inside the news. Of course, since it's an open line Wednesday, that means you can call in and give your commentary on things that is important to you or what you think that we should bring or highlight bring some introspection toward. So feel free to call in. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, you can dial from the Family Island 242-300-5720. And again, that number is 242-300-5720. But before I start, I want to ask Aaron this. Let me get up on my phone. You see where you should bring these things on your phone before you start talking, Aaron? Okay. I just got a Shanique Miller from the Conversations headline, I guess you say. And I'm going to read it. It says, Okay, yes. She copied and pasted something from Latree Ramings, the director of communications page.
Oh, is this a story about the violence interrupters?
No. Okay. But we can talk about that. Oh. But this I found interesting. It's a statement from the communication director, right? I just want to state the source I got it from, right? It says, the office of the prime minister did not direct any news crew to cover a crime scene in the Bahamas. We have since contacted the team who indicated they will not use that as part of their story. The purpose of their CBS news crew trip is to show that the Bahamas is safe for Americans to visit and that the incidents occurring in the Bahamas are outside the tourist areas. Communication Director Latree Ramming. I found that interesting.
Right, so the Bahamas government didn't invite them.
No. Maybe because how I read it. I can let you see it, right? Past the Shanique part. It seems that our government has hired or invited CBS. That's how I interpret it. And I want to know if you interpret it that way. We invited CBS to do a report on the Bahamas, that the Bahamas is safe. It's a safe place for tourists. And also to explain, this is my words, and you can see if that this is there, because we know we're going to do some introspection of it, to say that the crime areas or where it's being impacted is not in the tourist areas. Is that what they're saying? Read it again, and then you can read it loud.
I'll read it. Quote, the Office of the Prime Minister did not direct any news crew to cover a crime scene in the Bahamas.
One pause there and do some...
We could do.
Apparently, CBS was at a crime scene.
I saw a picture of some Caucasian people.
White people.
And... in the picture, Officer Skippings?
Yes, was at a crime scene.
Right. And the man was just standing there with a camera. So I saw that picture.
And he was recording or doing a report.
Safely.
But read that part again so we can see.
The Office of the Prime Minister did not direct any news crew to cover a crime scene in the Bahamas.
So these people came there on their own accord. Go ahead.
Right. We have since contacted the team who indicated they will not use that as a part of their story. So that suggests they didn't invite them here.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it suggests to me.
But it's a part of their story. See? So you don't direct, I'm sure you can direct a news team not to report the news, but they're here for an agenda. So let's hear what the agenda is. So it's not that lying, it's the subsequent lying.
It follows, the purpose of the CBS News crew trip is to show that the Bahamas is safe for Americans to visit and that incidents occurring in the Bahamas are outside of the tourist areas.
So that means they're hired?
Right,
Can we be safe to say they were hired?
Yes, or at least they communicated with the government that this is what they wanted to do and the government did not stop them.
And CBS found it in their good graces perhaps to say, man, let me go to the Bahamas to show that that's a safe place because that's news, right?
Well, they're journalists. They come to...
Yeah, yeah. I believe they're hired. I mean, there's nothing wrong being hired. The Ministry of Tourism have a duty of care to take safeguard our tourism product. And if they can...
Well, they wouldn't have hired them.
They would have invited them. Oh, invited them.
Yeah, I don't think they would have hired them.
Okay, I like that word. I like invited them. Can you pack? But when you invite them, who pays for the hotel?
I mean, imagine you having a conversation with the media house, right?
Okay.
And you're saying, look, we're concerned at the inaccuracies mm-hmm. included in all of these stories you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
The data is available.
Mm-hmm.
You could have called the Ministry of National Security for data,
mm-hmm.
for a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you would like to come down yourselves
yeah.
and take a walk around, observe what you see, we guarantee you that these things are not happening in the tourist areas.
I accept that. And I have that as fact. Let's say that. Now I ask you, who pays for the trip? Does the news people say, hey, I'll pay for it. I'll come down and drive around.
They should pay for it themselves.
The newspaper, the media. And when we said that they were not invited to record the crime scene, but they happened to be on the crime, how did they get there? They heard it on the radio, the crime radio maybe, say, hey, there's a crime scene, let me go that way.
Is there a crime radio? We only got one car with one computer in it, and I hope that wasn't the car that crashed and turned over the other day.
Yeah. But it's a nice car, a nice computer. But I want to know, like, how did they get there? Clearly, Skippins was there. And they showed up and they were doing a segment.
So there must have been an introduction, right? They must have been introduced to the police team that was out there. They must have been introduced to the police press team as well.
Yes. And
maybe the press team brought them.
And the director of communication, I think it would be safe to say, communicated with this team, the CBS team, to say, hey, don't report that part. You ain't here for that. You here to showcase the tourism areas that is safe. And now I want to segue because it's safe. We go with that. Did we analyze that enough?
So I got a question on the table, right?
Go ahead.
Yesterday I asked a question around crime, tourism, and the media, mm-hmm. right? And I got that question here today. For us, the question was, should the government censor crime reports?
I like that.
Crime news, right?
I like that, but I don't want to go there yet.
Here's my question. Can the government censor it, right? Like, do they even have the capacity?
Like telling CBS, don't report that part? That's what you mean? Can they censor? No, I mean that. Let me ask this. I hear you. It's not like I don't want to talk about it.
You can't tell a journalist.
You can. You didn't read that? Want to read it again? To see if you can't tell a journalist what? Want to read the part again?
You read it.
Okay. No. I can bring it back up and just see if you can't tell a journalist.
You could tell a journalist anything, but I'm sure they can print that too.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, read that part. What was told to the journalist person. Let me hear.
We have since contacted the team.
Who has contacted the team?
This would be the communications director.
The government. Go ahead. And tell them what?
Who indicated they will not use that as part of their story.
Yeah. It's because it's safe. But not, and I want segue. Yesterday, there was a interdiction by the police on, guess where? Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
The police was doing their regular traffic stops, whatever it is, and stop a bus a jitney, right? Let me remind you where this place is. Bay Street. And as the police doing their awesome job, and the police officer must be commended, they found a firearm in the bus and arrested some people for having an illegal firearm, pistol type thing, on Bay Street.
Now, I saw a video that seemed to be on Prince George Wharf.
That ain't Bay Street era.
A car. That ain't on Bay Street.
See, when I consider Bay Street, I talk about all the tourism area. That's the back wharf.
Downtown.
The front street. That's downtown. That's Bay Street. Bay Street's downtown. You want to use colloquial words and things saying that won't be proper. Them side streets have names too, but all that's Bay Street. That's downtown. My thing is, the goal is to say that tourists are safe. Tourists are safe. I sincerely believe tourists are safe. I even believe that the general public is safe because these people targeting each other. They being specific, right? But when we are accosting people downtown and people have firearms on, you say you call it downtown, you won't call it Bay Street, are tourism areas at risk if firearms are there by criminals? I want to analyze it. What do you think? Where do you find that firearm? What is he doing down there?
I mean, Bay Street is also a through road.
Yeah.
I mean, if the presumption is that only tourist activity takes place on Bay Street, then you'd be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is the tension between tourism and the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Bay Street is a through road. People who are on Bay Street may be just passing through Bay Street.
You know what's the closest area to downtown area? They call it Over the Hill.
The whole damn country is over the hill.
Yeah, there you go. My point is, there's no tourism area separate from Nassau. All is one. This whole island is a tourism area.
That video with the news team, the picture with the news team present, was that anywhere near Nassau Street?
I don't even know where that is. I really know. I mean, I have to look, analyze the picture.
Because Nassau Street has a number of Airbnbs ensconced on it and around it. I mean, that's a tourist area. Every day coming to work, I see lone people who would seem out of place, but for the fact that I know that there are lots of Airbnbs in that area. Even the convent.
The whole of Nassau Street is now a tourism area. They stopped at the chicken shacks and at the breakfast stands and at the corner market, buy fruits and vegetables.
Pull their car up on the sidewalk just like...
Yeah. Double park and whatever it is. But my point is, Nassau Street, which is over the hill, which is inner city, is now a tourism district.
Well, the whole country has become a tourism district, especially with the Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation urging Bahamians to open up their homes to tourists, as opposed to the minister responsible for housing urging Bahamians to open up their homes and properties for displaced and homeless Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere, every single place, Johnson Road, Nassau Street.
Now I want to go to your question you posed earlier about whether the government subject a certain news report regarding crime for tourism's sake.
But the question is now shifted to can they, right? With the existing legislation, with the nature of the technology that we all have access to, can the government censor news? And then what is the state's response to a world where they cannot control the narrative, where they cannot censor the news?
Mm.
They cannot stop individual people from quote-unquote reporting and disseminating information to the world widely, right? That means that they have to improve their communications units. They have to improve their communication protocols. They have to improve the speed with which they gather information and the speed with which they disseminate information. They have to set up protocols for what can be shared publicly, what cannot be shared publicly. And they got to do it quickly. They need to have a team that's scouring the internet for anything coming from the Bahamas or about the Bahamas, not to stop it, but to be able to respond to it appropriately.
Very quickly. Now, let me ask you this, Aaron. Let's say you're a director of communication. See, I promote you. I want you to get some money on the side, right? Because you would be good at it, by the way. They could hire you to do it. And circumstances is you brought in a news crew to promote the Bahamas. And whilst they were here, they happened to come in onto a crime scene, right? Would you let everybody know that you that you're telling them not to report it? Or you say, hey, let me talk to you on the side. Don't report that part, please. Like, if it's me, I ain't let nobody know.
Listen, if I was a reporter, that you asked me not to report it means I reporting it.
But why let that be public, man? I mean, oh boy, come this way. I'm glad you're here, though. Welcome to the Bahamas. But that piece right there, don't mention that, eh? But I ain't let no one know I said, though. This is me. Maybe I'm secretive. You know, men be secretive.
To a reporter. Who's always recording.
Perhaps that's why
you don't say it at all.
Perhaps that's why he had to. Perhaps that's why he had to make it public, because he realized that you make a mistake. Oh hell! I sent a reporter.
You have a quandary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our international news teams here, because of what they see coming out in our media, or are they here because of what they don't see coming out in our media?
You deep enough. Explain what you're trying to say.
Has local reporting instilled a degree of confidence in the minds of our international partners, in the minds of our tourists, and in the minds of the international media? Is somebody reading these stories and saying, man, there's a whole bunch missing here? This don't seem full enough, right? It's like the three-paragraph report on the men being killed in Blair.
Yes.
I just don't feel like there's enough information here. Perhaps that compelled them to come down and see what it is that's not being reported.
I am concerned that there's a need for a foreign press to report on us.
Well, no, don't be concerned about that.
No, man, I think we're capable of our own.
Media and press machines are always looking for stories to report on.
You think they're going all the way to Jamaica to do the same thing?
Why not? Of course. They're already here. You could just catch a COPA flight to Jamaica.
I believe they invited someone invite them here. I don't think this make news like important enough that, hey, let's go to the Bahamas and sit there and try to save them.
There's another question that I have, which is, to what extent is the U.S. media being used by the U.S. government? Right? Like a proxy war. For instance, you remember when the little story between Jamaica and the U.S. popped up? Jamaica complained that their ambassadors were... Well, the story said, and perhaps inaccurately, that their diplomats were not being allowed to return, right? Mm-hmm. That they were being ousted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It turns out that the U.S. had a change in rules and protocols.
Yeah, policies. Mm-hmm.
And it required then that these individuals would have to go home and then be reappointed.
Yes.
Right? But it means that they would have to close off all their financial affairs.
Yes, 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 yes.
Pull the kids out of school, go back to Jamaica, and then be returned, right? Be reappointed to those positions. And it turned out that it was a little political tit-for-tat.
Mm.
You know, a little political back and forth. To what extent are travel advisories used as foreign policy protocols?
Interesting. That means somebody controlling media. I have another thing I want you to read in the record before we go to the caller.
Okay.
Read that. That's Tribune there by Neil. Who that is?
Neil Hartnell?
Yes.
Drag on tourist bookings after crime alerts issued. Is this in today's paper, sir?
Yes, that's today's paper. I was looking for it. You had it hiding in your bag. Selfish.
I have every Tribune in the world hidden in my bag.
Okay.
So you can't see it.
I understand.
I can get a jump.
But
here we go.
I just want to read that because apparently there is a fallout. I didn't know there was a fallout.
I can read another article I touched on yesterday for you as well. Drag on tourist bookings after crime alerts issued in today's Tribune. Bahamian hotels yesterday revealed recent crime alerts have sparked, quote, a drag on the booking pace, close quotes. While a former DNA leader blamed 7 cancellations at his vacation rental business on the warnings. Robert Sands, the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association's president, told Tribune Business the industry is still trying to, quote, quantify, close quotes, the precise impact from international media, quote, misrepresentation, close quote, of U.S. and Canadian travel advisories through February, quote, still remains a very strong month. full story on the in the business section.
I mean, that's just a headline one should read.
Yeah.
Let's go to the caller now. Producer, patch the caller for me, please. Good morning, caller. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I was wondering if I can still do the give the question in reference to the bullying in schools.
Yeah, why not? What question do you ask, Erin?
I just wanted to applaud the North New Providence District for all the efforts they're making because it is a real issue. And I'm wondering, when will we take more stance and efforts in all the schools, every single school in the country, and taking an effort to come together to fight the bullying, take it more seriously to fight the bullying in schools as it stands now? What is being done to involve every school? Because it's not just a single school or a group of schools issue. I think the bullying starts in the schools, and we are creating adults who are continuing the bullying in life, and I think that is also contributing to the crimes that we are dealing with in the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. The team, when they were here, they're no longer here, indicated that the current model sits within the New Providence, the Northern New Providence School District. It's not Ministry of Education wide, but they are working with the Ministry of Education. The Ministry of Education is collating the statistics produced by the district for a wider Ministry of Education product or project, and they are hoping that the Ministry of Education will facilitate or initialize this model being reproduced in other school districts.
But the good thing is that the district has invited other guidance counselors and parents to attend.
Right, and they've opened it up. If you are a parent of a student at a school in another district or in a private school or in another schooling situation, you can contact the district office, the Northern New Providence Secondary Schools District Office, to indicate that you would like to attend their inaugural anti-bullying rally as well.
Yes. You said you had another article you want to read, because I know we have one or two things we want to delve in. I also want to talk about the crime interrupters.
Mm-hmm.
I see Leslie Miller is complaining about crime interrupters.
Absolutely. So,
as a party man, I find that he speaks a lot. Like, who asks him these questions, man? Sometimes, as a party man, you must sit small and allow your party to deal with issues. You know, you cause issues, man.
Mm-hmm. So the article I read from on Monday and yesterday a bit, hotels dealing with visitor safety concerns on crime, and they spoke to Carrie Fountain, the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board's executive director, as well as Denisio de Aguila and a couple of other people. And they are concerned. They said that they are seeing a little movement. They're getting lots of calls for people asking about safety issues, but most people seem to have displayed a degree of confidence in the responses they're getting from the tourism stakeholders.
I have no concern. I mean, not when I say no concern. I'm not overly concerned, right? Caribbean nations tend to have this type of warning from time to time. Jamaica has gone up to 3, whatever that level 3.
Mm-hmm.
And their numbers are still high. The people are still going despite the spike in Jamaican crime. We're up to 2. Any minute now, we drop to 1 when this blows over, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not overly concerned. I appreciate the government's efforts in terms of how they respond to it. I believe they need to respond to it more. The CBS thing might be a good thing. They need to hire bloggers. I see there is a number of beach operators. When I say beach operators, tour guides, they're now taking it onto themselves to record tourists on the beach. Say, hey, you're in the Bahamas, you know, we have a number of crime incidents. How do you feel about it? And there have been positive responses. Man, no, Bahamas is safe, right? So I'm seeing that there are behemoths who are intimately involved in tourism who take it upon themselves, hey, I will do my part to show that the Bahamas is a safe place to come. So that behemoths need to be commended, because that's an extra thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that tourists are generally safe. Just driving on the roads and watching tourists be misguided by Bahamian tour guides about how they could drive, running stop signs, stopping in the road and creating roadblocks so that your convoy could travel through a red light. They're far less safe in them little scooter and tour guide thing than the risk of them being killed or caught up in a gang retaliation or gang killing. They safe, man. We just need to talk to the tour guides about how they're driving these people around the place.
I want to hear your commentary on this. Right, this is a text, though. And mind you, I can answer them myself, you know, but I want you to intellectualize it, right? The texter is questioning whether we have freedom of the press, right? Do we have freedom of the press in the Bahamas? The police are censoring reporters. Local press are being told not to mention the name of companies when the crime happened on their property. Local media are streaming live on Facebook from the scene to the world. So no, it's not a matter of verified. No, my point is, why would you want to call the name of the business? The business didn't do the crime, eh? It's the people that happened.
It's about that's just about the details of the crime.
That's details.
No, why are you hiding it? Here's my thing. Why are you hiding it? If somebody got killed in your parking lot, that's where they got killed. What's the problem?
It impacts your business.
And?
Well, yeah, it impacts
but
your business.
But it's what happened.
Yeah, but say it's a major restaurant establishment. Why call a name?
Because that's where it happened.
Yeah, I'm not saying it didn't happen. But is that necessary for the reporting?
Because you have to report the news accurately.
You report the news that the person got killed.
So the person got killed on the corner of A Street and B Street and this business in the parking lot of a business.
You
there.
Don't need to call a business.
But then maybe you're not serious about interdicting crime.
You call the street.
Maybe you're not serious about solving crime.
But what about the street? Why can't you just call the street?
Because every single detail is necessary to solve the crime. If you can't say that this is unimportant.
Okay, the other day, right, we had a shark attack. The lady died, right, with a shark, which is paddleboarding, right? It was on the general beach. It was on the general beach, right? But she was a guest of a particular hotel.
Okay, see, this is different. The hotels will own up all the beach now. And now, but you're saying it didn't happen on your beach. When somebody gets hurt, it ain't your beach.
Yeah.
When somebody gets hurt, it's our beach.
It was the
Bahamas. But when I want to go to the beach, it's your beach.
But the idea is calling the name of the business, now, the hotel, impacted the hotel sales.
Either we are a real company a real country, or we just a company, right? We just economics. Are we a real company, a country?
Mm-hmm.
A real country reports the news accurately.
Mm. So you believe they should call the business, even though the business is not involved?
Listen, if somebody gets killed or is killed or is found dead within the premises of a particular... See, when I want to park my car there, it's your building.
Mm.
It's your property.
Mm.
But when somebody gets killed there, you don't want to have nothing to do with it?
Mm.
Either we're a real country or we're not a real country.
I hear. We got another call. We got another call. Let's patch that caller through. Go ahead, producer. How you doing, caller? Good morning. Good morning.
Good.
Good morning.
Hi,
how you doing?
Jackie.
Hey, yeah. Jackie, how you doing? Just recognize your voice.
I'm hanging in there. You know, there's a great fair of crime in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There is crime in this country. I put it to you this way. Airbnbs are all over every nook and cranny of this country. And places where you don't even think that's where they are. And the tourists are walking our streets. And so amid the filth, the garbage, the derelict vehicles, the overgrown bushes. Crime is prevalent. Shanty towns are throughout and throughout and throughout. Now, when I go to travel to the U.S., and even to the Caribbean, and even to other countries, I check out the place. And where that hotel is, if that's a certain area, I can't kill anybody. I can't make some other arrangements. And all I have to say is that crime is a serious concern in this country, and it is affecting our bread and butter. And we must fight for our beloved Bahamas. And so whatever has to be done in this country to correct the wrong, we have to do. From each of us, including the homes, the families, the church, the leaders, in all sphere, it's almost as if they, some of them tired, but they say overwhelmed. But we got to step back. And we got to call a solemn assembly or whatever and ask God for enlightenment and help us to see and open our eyes and open our ears. We are under attack. This ain't nothing casual. It ain't casual business. And so we have to demand more. Demand more. When you have a young man killed on the doorstep of a church, across the road from a church, there is a complete lawlessness. And it concerns me. And it concerns me when I see the people walking up and tourists walking up and down from Airbnbs, walking to the food store, walking somewhere. I say, these people know where they are. And when that media came underground saying in Baytown yesterday, I said, damning. That is damning. Because when they're looking at crime, they're going to be scoping those cameras all around, looking at silk and garbage. And it bothers me. It concerns me. My country better than this. And I can do whatever I could, my part, to make it a better place. Because we got to, this is no other country but us.
Thank you very much, Aunt Jackie.
God bless.
Blessings. What's trending inside the news, Aaron, I want to commend the Minister Clay Sweeting, for his continued effort to rid the Bahamas of shantytowns.
Man, come on. But let's go to the column.
No. I want to bring that. You don't like
no
it?
No continued effort.
No?
There's no temp... You
get past it. Look at you.
Have they acknowledged who the people in the shantytowns are?
No, but Dying him. That's the Ministry of Immigration. He ain't in charge of that. He's in charge of bulldozing. He's doing a good job at bulldozing. This is what I want to talk to you about. I think
he should be doing a good job of fixing the roads.
No, that's a different thing.
No, he's Minister of Works,
yes,
right?
Yes, he needs to fix the roads, yes.
Take the bulldozer and fix the roads.
Yeah, we could use the same scrap wooden thing.
To fix the roads.
Yes.
I mean, it's better than whatever cold patch foolishness they're doing now.
Yeah, you should see my bearings. But this is what I want to talk to you about. I just found out that there is no Haitian slash NGOs in the Bahamas. I thought there exists at least one. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, right, they have a large community here, 30,000 plus Haitian and Haitian descent, right? A number of them are poor and impoverished, right? At this present time, they're going through a crisis in terms of their houses being bulldozed. There is no institution for them to go to and say, hey, I need some support.
You don't worry about that. There's no institution for Bahamians to go to.
I mean, I go to Red Cross. That's a Bahamian institution.
They can find housing for you?
Yes, Red Cross have housing. I could go to...
How much housing do they have? Is it adequate?
That's a different thing.
Okay, then. It means if they know it's not adequate, then they don't have it.
Yeah, but at least we have two or three. Then government and social services have one or two. But what about the Haitian community and the NGOs? The people who house were bulldozed, where are they sleeping tonight? Especially when it's raining and cold. They're supposed to go. It can't depend on us. That's for Bahamians.
Man, look here, let me...
They need to go to their own NGOs and say, hey, I'm here in the Bahamas. I'm a Haitian citizen, right? But I'm here on work permit or whatever it is, right? I don't have no place to go. Can you all, as my people, help me out? You can't expect us to reach out and do it.
You mean I can't expect the person who's employing them to ensure that they have adequate and government-approved housing to live in while they're working for them?
Clearly, that wasn't happening, though.
So then I can't rely on the Ministry of Immigration to make sure that work permit holders, or the employers of work permit holders, are following the law?
Who's the current Minister of Immigration?
I don't care. I can be honest with you. I don't care.
You got to care.
Why? Are they doing anything?
So we can call him to get fired. Because if that's the same person who was in charge of the roads...
We well beyond that. We approaching the point where we call for all of them to resign, Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
I see you got a caller there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to take that now.
Let me take the caller and you go to do your due.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good?
That's fine.
Okay. The caller can hang up. Sorry about that, caller.
He's coming to you, caller,
and you just hang up, right? Because I don't want... Okay, give you 30 seconds because I don't want Aaron to start her. Okay.
We can always jump back to it, man.
Okay, go ahead. You start, Aaron.
I don't mind sticking a pin.
Let me read the text while you do that. Go ahead. Okay. You should call it there.
There we go.
Producer, answer that for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Newry and Ms. Green.
Morning.
You guys gave me a great laugh. Ms. Green, I love your laugh statements. I also like to compliment you on... you know, kind of just bringing a little light to the idiosyncrasies of the shootings in Don Knowledge, along with many other dubious shootings, right?
Yes.
So we were talking about crime. I don't really want to comment on the migrant issue because, you know, it's really just a lack of enforcement, so it's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to touch on the wolf and the sheep clothing syndrome as far as fighting crime, right? So you have wolf and sheep clothing, and so that would be instrumental too. And so, you know, listening to everybody, you know, we all have the answers. Like Lester Cox said, the answers we seek are within us. So there's a gentleman who called and talked about the curfew for children at a certain age and a parameter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't have a problem with. But I would have a problem with the curfew in itself because it impedes commercial activities for the inner city youth and just the city in general.
Mm-hmm.
I rode around and saw, like, Nassau basically is a ghost town. It doesn't even have what it used to be. The fish fry under the dock. These places is where people make money and money trickles down. So we you're not looking at the economic repercussions. And so if you're willing to live in a prison planet, I guess you stay home. And if you're afraid to live, then don't live. Because I can't accept in a day like this with technological advances and all the technological armamentario that's in the world that we would be even contemplating such non.
52, look like you dropped. Okay, go ahead, Aaron.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much for that contribution, 52. So, Mr. Nuri, I mean, there are tons of stories I have here. You know, woman shot by police after attempting to knock down officers.
I mean, she got light up. She did get light up. You saw the video? I mean, they light her right up. Pow, 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 pow.
I mean, were they shooting for the tires?
What do you mean? The police don't shoot at tires. They don't go to the range to shoot at tires. They shoot at chest. And she was in the car, so they're aiming at her chest.
Listen.
Pow, 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 pow.
I got the story here. What I see, what I saw in the video doesn't align with what I read in
the
report.
Would you have a problem with the video? She reversed back and you pow, 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 pow. She ain't doing no more.
In the video, the vehicle that we're looking at is surrounded on three sides.
Yes.
Cannot go forward. Cannot go backwards to escape.
Yet the woman did
she
what?
She put it in reverse and hit the vehicle behind her.
To try to do what?
To try and escape.
Pow, 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 pow. That's what happened.
So you shoot out the tires.
No.
So the vehicle can't
police
move.
Police aren't trained to shoot out tires.
You added an extra two or three words there. I don't know why. Let's go to the caller and then I can get back to the story. Producer, let's go to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. I'm calling on for the show. Hey, hi, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
And good afternoon. Boy, see, Mr. Nuri, a lot of times we don't agree, but I agree with you with something you said with the police should have do. Listen to me, Aaron. Do you have any good friends that police officers? I ain't talking about friends, say hi and bye. I'm talking about real good friends.
I know this is a call-in show. And I know the whole purpose is to entertain the opinions of the callers, right?
Yes,
but I
can
be honest with you. I am more frightened of every time there's a police shooting that I hear were in fear of their lives, right? That, listen, you cannot give a gun to somebody who, after using it, says, but I was in fear of my life, you know.
This whole training thing
upsets me greatly because it appears as if the police are not being trained sufficiently.
Let's use the same conversation we had about bullying. Let's use you for a second for example. Okay, just say for instance you are there and you're on a traffic stop, and I decide I can use me as hypothetically too in this one. I know now. My car, I dirty. I got all kind of dirty things in my car, whatever it is, illegal. And I driving. And as I approaching you, you trying to flag me down. But you see me coming with a high rate of speed to knock you. What would you do?
Listen, the woman was not driving with a high rate
of speed. No, but I just use it as an example.
No, you got to use an accurate example to it. It is 2020. No, it is 2024. I spend all my time defending the police. Pointing out that we cannot expect more unless we are prepared to resource them. They're overworked, they're undertrained, they're under-resourced, they're underprepared.
So in other words, what you're saying is that the police could deal with that situation differently.
What I said is that the video and the story seem completely and totally incongruent. The story doesn't seem to be reporting on the same situation we see in the video. And what I said to Nuri was, in what we see in the video, the vehicle was contained on three sides. The woman put the vehicle in reverse and hit a vehicle behind her that was larger than the vehicle that she was in. In less than a second, these guys start shooting towards the car. If you were afraid that she was going to be able to move the car out of the contained space that it was in, surely you would shoot the tires. That's all I'm saying.
But Aaron, when you're in certain situations as a police, as I understand, you have to make critical. Let me tell you some critical decisions. Let me tell you something. I don't, and Cecil, I agree with you when you said the police shoot. I don't listen. Too many police officers in this country don't get credit, Aaron. When those fellas leave home, They got to leave home with their families, Aaron.
Do it.
Which you don't know if they're coming back. They got to be on the road to protect me and you.
But producer, put it on pause, please. Do it. I don't think you're hearing what I'm telling you. Nobody discounts that police officers risk their lives every day going on the street. I get it. I drive on the same road that they drive on. Right? I get it. But they are the police force. This ain't the three score. This ain't the senior citizens community patrol. In fear of their lives should not be the response that we get from police in every single police shooting. At some point, somebody's supposed to say, why are these officers so afraid? Why can't an officer make a sound determination that to save lives, they had to discharge their firearm? Why do they always say the officer was in fear of his life? What about, you could tell me, look, the suspect pulled his gun in a densely populated area. Concern, a reasonable determination that if he fired his gun, somebody was going to get shot is sufficient for me. But that every single officer says, or every single statement says, was in fear of their life. The gentleman was approaching the officer with a cinder block in his hand.
Pow, pow.
Pow, pow. And the response, because he was in fear of his life, that the boy had enough strength to throw the cinder block at him.
He ain't gonna do it no more.
Why don't we have tasers?
You don't tase people, Aaron.
Why don't we have less than lethal weapons?
When you have a cinder block coming at me? Pow!
I could knock a cinder block out of the air, man.
Yeah, that gun do the same thing from far. He ain't
this is reckless. This is reckless.
Let's go to the next caller, Aaron.
Good morning, caller. I won't read this story, man.
I want you to read the story.
Company claims largest crypto real estate deal.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Aaron Green and Cecil there.
Yep.
Listen to me. The police is here to protect us. If they were to hurt the police and kill the police, then who is now here to protect us?
Sir, they're not going to kill every single police officer.
I pull out on a car to knock down a police officer, or anybody who shoot a gun at a police officer don't deserve to be around here.
Thank you, caller.
If I am a police officer and they pull a gun out and shoot at me, I will shoot them in their head.
Did the woman pull out a gun on the officers?
She pulled out a weapon. She used the car as a weapon.
Man, come on, caller.
Let's go to the next caller.
No, pause. Come on, caller. It's 2024. We having a serious conversation.
We scared, Aaron. Yeah.
I know that's what they call it. A car is a dangerous weapon, but did she pull the car out on the bay?
Caller, we're coming back to you. Let's take this quick break. Aaron will read this thing too. But we're coming back.
Story about a real robbery.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes out of the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious boy, this real serious boy.
But what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's that time of year. Time for the Guardian Media Group's annual Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Fair at the Mall at Marathon, Saturday, March 2nd.
Starting at 10 a.m.,
admission is totally free. Games, prizes, samples, and surprises are free. So, bring your mom, bring your dad, bring grandma and the baby, and come and receive free health screening, new product info, and sound financial advice. It's the annual Nassau Guardian Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Fair, happening Saturday, March 2nd at the Mall at Marathon. Join the movement.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back. And Aaron, you crossed the board light right up. Light right up.
So you sure they're not people who agree with me?
Okay.
That we don't want to hear. I'm just saying that I would rather hear an officer say, I made a sound determination that if not stopped now, the individual would go on to kill others, than I pulled my gun because I was in fear.
If you move your car from D to R and I tell you stop, pow, pow. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Aaron wants to know if you agree with her.
I don't want to know that, sir. It does not matter. We could still talk.
CA.
Hey.
Hi. Aaron.
Yes.
Let's say the police officer was behind that car and get his leg crushed. Because remember now, that car was reported stolen. Well, the state should have been shot immediately because that you driving a known stolen car, boy, steal car to do crime in.
Don't say that it would be shot immediately. Come on, no hyperbole. No hyperbole. Be serious.
If an officer was behind that car, he'd get his leg crushed. He'd body get hurt seriously. She moved the car. She's surrounded by police.
One thing I would say is the officers knew not to stand behind the car.
I rented this expensive car. So I doubled the car. The officer said, sir, if you lost your life, you would get back in that car.
Mm.
Not that that car come back as not stolen. See, then state before I deal with you that they run that tag. If it come back stolen, you can't stay in that car. You'll come up with your hands up, lay down on the floor, and they have to run your name, check that car, if the car come back stolen. See, the police were doing their job. She should not move that car. And a known stolen car, she's trying to get away.
We're still investigating whether it was stolen.
Before
it was stolen, that was the news day.
Yes, that car is similar.
So when she moved the car, they can't tell.
I have a text asking, saying, suppose there were children inside the car.
But she said
they would have been dead children. That's all it would be.
See what I'm saying. Call her. Hyperbole. Come on now. Listen, I don't know where all this fear come from, because when I was being stalked for 3 years via telephone, you know what the police tell me?
Mm.
The police tell me, but telco say the threat was not sufficient to warrant further investigation. They tell me, don't be afraid. I don't understand. Where's all this fear coming from?
Because of the violence now, man, Aaron. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Get your 30 seconds. Caller, going once. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Morning.
Observation. Of course, I agree with you, Ms. Green. The police know better than stand in the back of a car. And once the police pull me over, I would stop because I have no reason, unless I'm moving $1 million. But you know what I have a problem with? This lady with the superstar name, Jobette Kobe Davis, whoever it was, I can't even know if it's her. But you remember the incident where they hit the police the other day with some parade or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why didn't you see what I'm saying? So what was David talking about? What are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
If the person was white, you think they would have done this? The thing is, the license to kill. I've given them the desire to kill. That's what it seems like to me, because move out of the way, simply.
Yep.
Okay, just want to say that it was revealed that the incident with Kobe didn't happen. But let's go to the next caller.
When was that revealed? Oh, come on now.
The minister spoke.
The
Minister of National Security.
Him?
He said he was on the phone. Let's go to the caller, man.
He said he was on the phone, right? When it didn't happen, right?
Let's go, caller.
Ah, boy. I think Pintard onto something. I mean, I was onto it long before him. I'm glad he picked it up.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning to you and your cast.
Good morning.
My issue with that is what I would have seen from the pictures and what I would have seen in the United States as well, the police were on the side of the cars. No one was in the back or the front. When you say that somebody's attempted to run you over, you have to either be in the back of the car or the front of the car. They shot the cars from two particular sides. In the United States, I think four or five of these officers lost their jobs for shooting into a car, trying to stop a man who was fleeing, and they lost their jobs because they were not in front of the car. And they made a report and said that he tried to run them over, and the body camera showed that was incorrect. So my thing is, when they use words like run over, they should, you know, be more careful with that, because they were wrong. You don't shoot at somebody. If they're fleeing, you have to use another method. But if they didn't run you over, you can't shoot at them. You know, you're on the side of them. You know, you're not in the front of the car. You're not in the back of the car. That's just my 5 cents.
Thank you, caller.
Sounds like caller wants an investigation.
Well, listen, that's why I said the video and the story seem incongruent. It appears as if there were two encounters. A first one where she may have attempted to run someone over, but the second one is what we see in the video. That's what it appears as if. I just want police officers to be trained and to be given the resources they need to do their jobs competently and without fear and panic.
Tomorrow, what you want to talk about? What is this article you're talking about?
Company claims largest crypto real estate deal involving 7,700 acres of Bahamas land.
Land
between Long Island and Andrus, it'd say.
Interesting. We'll talk about that tomorrow. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Someone claiming our land again. And Long Island land. We'll see you tomorrow.